Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klaponis, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on the Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, excuse me, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Pope Saint John Paul II, pray for us. Jesus, we trust in thee. Amen. And my pastor just texted me, so I've got to text him right back. Okay. So I would like today to do the daily update first. As many of you know, today is the Feast of Saint Joseph, which is a really high holy day for the Italians. And I've planned a 1-hour show today. So I want to go ahead and let's do the daily update. And then we'll talk about Saint Joseph. So Thursday evening at 6:30 Eastern, Terry Delp is going to do a show about the Colby House, and he's going to introduce a gentleman named Albert who just got out of prison. And Albert, if you're listening, I want you to know that Catholics all over the world love you and support you, and we'll do anything we can to help you stay out and to help you embrace our deep, rich faith. And hopefully Terry will make sure that you listen to this if you're not already. But we really feel that way, Albert. And Colby House is a house that works with inmates. It's in the Houston area, and it works with inmates who have been recently released to help them obtain employment and get themselves going so that they aren't recidivists, so that they don't go back to prison. And I wholly support that mission. And if I had any money, I would be sending it to Colby House and the Brother Dismas Foundation, as well as to the Four Persons and Guadalupe Radio Network. Just thought I'd talk about that one as well. On Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, on the Catholic Ken Apologetics show, he is going to do a show about Holy Week to help us to better understand what Holy Week is and why we should make and participate in it. And friends, I'll tell you, every year during Holy Week, I go to Mass Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Thursday, I go to the Mass of the Lord's Supper. On Friday, I go to the Adoration of Our Lord Jesus Christ. I go to the Vigil Mass on Saturday evening, which is going to run at least 2 hours, maybe more, depending on how many candidates you've got. And we've had, last year we had the joy of having 19 candidates. This year we've only got 12, but that's 12 brand new Catholics. And husbands and wives will follow next year. So Holy Week is a very important week for us. Then on Saturday, as you probably know by now, William Hemsworth has two shows. At 10 a.m. Eastern, he hosts the Catholicism Rock Show. And it's supposed to, he's hoping that it's an interview about evangelism on the game Roblox, but The time has not yet been confirmed. But if I know William, he'll pull that off and make that happen because he's one of my heroes. And then at noon Saturday on Burnt Toast and Coffee is an interview with the founder of Catholic Sprouts. So four shows right there you won't want to miss, and you're not gonna miss, because even if you can't watch live, you can go to our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/the4persons, and you can see all of our shows streaming. And that will be of great interest to you. You can see every show that we've ever done for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You can see every show that John Benko has hosted. And right now, he's got pinned to the very top of the page his interview with Steve Ray, the original Catholic defender, about going to the Holy Land, and I am so excited for him. John invited me to go on that trip with him, but I just don't have the money to do it. And frankly, I can't take, you know, a week and a half to 2 weeks boarding my dogs and my cat somewhere, or paying somebody to stay here with them. Right now I can't afford that, along with the expense of a trip to and from Jerusalem. But I would love to, because that would mean that I get to meet my good friends Tony and Paulette Rocks of the rockcompanyshop.com. And we talk about them an awful lot because they're really, really, really great friends of our network. And they've come on our shows time and time again to help us to talk about what's going on around Israel and to talk about their great products. And once we get past Holy Week, I'm going to see if I can't get them to come on the air with me and pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Which reminds me, while I'm thinking about it, I have a few of these little pamphlets that talk about the story of the miraculous medal and how it was given to St. Catherine Laboureille and how she was instructed to have the miraculous medal set to metal and distributed to the world. And it also includes a miraculous medal. Starting on Good Friday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be praying the Divine Mercy Novena. The first person each day that calls in to the show, and the call-in number is 515-602-9655. That's 515-602-9655. And the first person that calls in each day, I will get you to contact me on Facebook and send me your address, and I will send you one of these prayer pamphlets with the miraculous medal in it. So please call in and join us. And like I said, the first person who calls in each day will get the pamphlet. And I just want to point out that it's one prayer pamphlet per household. So the husband can't call in one day and the wife call in the next. If you need one for your spouse, let me know via Facebook, and I'll send you two or three of them. I have a nice supply of them and can get more if need be. And I think it's very important to put the miraculous medal in people's hands.
the miraculous medal, Mary has made numerous promises to those who wear or carry the miraculous medal. I wear one, and I also have one in my wallet, at least one. I think I've got two. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But that's the prize for the first person to call in each day of the nine-day Divine Mercy Novena. It starts on Good Friday, and it concludes on Mercy Sunday, which is a week after Easter Sunday. The Sunday after Easter is Mercy Sunday. Jesus wanted that done, and Pope John Paul II made it absolutely happen. So, there we go. Now, let's talk about one of my favorite saints, and that's Saint Joseph. And while we're at it, we are going to pray, before we start, we are going to pray the Memorare to Saint Joseph in honor of my very good, close personal friend, Monsignor Don Kenny. Remember, O most pure spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our great protector, Saint Joseph, that no one ever had recourse to your protection or implored your aid without obtaining relief. Confiding, therefore, in your goodness, we come before you. Do not turn down our petitions, Father Foster of the Redeemer, but graciously receive them. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for Monsignor Kenny. He's a good friend and a great priest and is all deserving of every prayer you can make for him. And friends, I ask y'all to pray for Monsignor Kenny. I've not seen him in a long time. I first met him at St. Pius High School, and then got to know him much better when he was the pastor of St. Joseph's Church in Marietta, Georgia. And he's gone home to Ireland, but we talk via Facebook on a very regular basis, and he and I are very good friends, and I love him to death, and I can't tell you enough good about Monsignor Kenny. And I know he's got special intentions, so let's pray for Monsignor Kenny, guys. And Monsignor Kenny, that memorare was for you. So now let's talk about Saint Joseph. And the first thing I'm going to do is read you what I wrote about Saint Joseph this morning. There are plenty of websites out there that tell you a story about Saint Joseph, and everything we know about Saint Joseph, which isn't much, is in the Bible. The most important thing comes out of the Gospel of Matthew, and it tells us that Joseph was a good and just man. We'll get to that shortly. So, we all know about Saint Joseph, that he is the foster father of Jesus, that he protected Jesus and Mary, that he taught Jesus to be a carpenter. Today, I want to talk about some of the apparitions and miracles attributed to Saint Joseph. Excuse me. When the New Mexico Territory was created, the new bishop, Bishop Jean-Baptiste Lamy, or Lamy, realized that there was a need for a school in the territory to teach the children of the area. He reached out to all of the orders of sisters that taught children, and only one group answered, the Sisters of Loretta. They arrived in Santa Fe around 1850 after a long and arduous journey across the country, and began the process of building a school in the Gothic style of a chapel that Bishop Lamy had loved back in France. The architect died before the Chapel of Our Lady of Light, as it was then called, was finished, and there was no access to the choir loft some 22 feet above the ground. Several carpenters were called in, all of them saying that building a set of stairs would take away a whole lot of seats and be unsightly at best. Almost all of these carpenters recommended the building of a ladder. And that was just, for obvious reasons, not acceptable to the sisters. So they began to pray a 9-day novena to Saint Joseph, because Saint Joseph was and is a carpenter. And so on the 9th day of their novena, a man came to the chapel with a donkey, and on the donkey he had a set of tools and a carpenter's a carpenter's square. I don't know anything about tools, guys. The only thing I know about tools is they need to stay inside during the rain or they'll rust. Don't know how to use them. Don't have the skills to use them. Don't want to. So anyway, this carpenter, according to some legends, in a matter of hours or days, and according to other legends over the course of a few months, built a beautiful, this staircase had two 360-degree turns. There were no nails or glue used in the staircase, only pegs, wooden pegs, not metal, wood. Now, he had the nuns bring him a lot of water, but he would, or the sisters, I'm sorry, they weren't nuns, they were sisters. Nuns are cloistered to a monastery. Sisters are cloistered to the world. They're all called sister, but that's the difference between a nun and a sister. A nun is cloistered to a monastery. A sister is cloistered to the world. So anyway, he had a couple of conditions. One condition was that no one would be in the chapel while he worked. And during the periods where the sisters came into the chapel to pray, he would disappear. He would hide in the recesses of the chapel or go wherever he needed to go, do whatever he needed to do. And when he appeared at the chapel, he was looking for work, ostensibly to earn money. However, once the staircase was built, he disappeared before he could be paid, before he could even be thanked, just disappeared. And this miraculous staircase, and I believe it was Saint Joseph, and a lot of people believe it was either Saint Joseph or it was someone sent by Saint Joseph. I think it was Saint Joseph. And in the movie The Staircase, which is a really good movie, it was a made-for-TV movie, the gentleman called himself Joad, J-O-A-D, which is, I guess, an ambiguation of Joseph. So anyway, the staircase lasted and still stands after being finished around 1870, so that's what, 154 years? Now, they added railings at some point, I think in the 20th century, And also in the 20th century, they added some metal brackets to attach it to the wall for stability. And that may have been in the 1990s, actually. And that's only harmed the staircase. It's taken away a lot of the spring that people said that the staircase had as they walked up the staircase. Now, today they don't let anyone walk up the staircase. Just to preserve them and make sure that they don't get destroyed or they don't fall under somebody. So anyway, the sisters checked around all of the hardware stores and lumber yards in the area to see if there had been an account for the wood for the staircase, but could not find one. It's interesting to note that the wood is not of a wood that's native to the American Southwest. Let me say that again. The wood that was used for the staircase is not a variety of wood, and it's a rare wood, but not of a variety of wood that is found in the American Southwest. So where did it come from? Today we know that it is from spruce, but we don't know which of the 10 varieties of spruce it is without taking a bigger sample. And when I get to heaven, I hope that I get to talk to Saint Joseph and ask him how he did it, because that's just amazingly interesting to me. The sisters also ran an ad in the local newspaper looking for the name of the carpenter, but no one came forward either as the carpenter or to identify the carpenter. Like I said, many believe that it was Saint Joseph himself. Believe it may have been someone sent by Saint Joseph. But like I said, the staircase has stood for over 150 years with no visible means of support, and its design is nothing short of miraculous. So that's a brief description of the Loreto staircase. The other thing that I wrote about was the apparition of Saint Joseph at Fatima. Few people realize that Saint Joseph, in addition to the Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph appeared at Fatima. I didn't know that until today when I went looking for apparitions of Saint Joseph. But in the October apparition, October of 1917, so closing in on 107 years ago, 107 years ago. Hard to believe it was that long ago, isn't it? So anyway, Saint Lucia, venerable servant of God Lucia, not Saint, Sister Lucia, or venerable servant of God Lucia, reports in her memoirs at page 183, Joseph did, in fact, appear at Fatima during the October 1917 apparition. And she says, after Our Lady had disappeared into the immense distance of the firmament, we beheld Saint Joseph with the child Jesus and Our Lady robed in white with a blue mantle. And they were beside the sun. Saint Joseph and the child Jesus seemed to bless the world, for they traced the sign of the cross with their hands. And there are many other apparitions of Saint Joseph that I may write about on another day, maybe, I don't know, May 1st, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, Today is the feast of Saint Joseph, the spouse of the Virgin Mary. But he's got another feast day, and I think it's on May 1st, the feast of Saint Joseph the Worker. So maybe that day I will talk about a few other apparitions or miracles attributed to Saint Joseph. But one that I want to talk about in particular happened in March of 1958 to a nun in Ohio. And these private revelations to Sister Mary Mildred Neusel, known earlier as Sister Mary Ephraim in Ohio, were fully known by Archbishop Paul Leibold, who was Sister Mary Ephraim's spiritual director from the time he was Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati until he died in 1972. He gave his imprimatur to her initial booklet and its reprinting published with the revelations she received. While he was an archbishop commissioned to examine Our Lady of America, Cardinal Raymond Burke detailed significant facts about Archbishop Leibold's approval of the devotion of Our Lady of America and his active promotion of the devotion. Cardinal Burke wrote, "Archbishop Leibold was always clear that the approved devotion had its origin in private revelation received by Sister Mary Ephraim over many years." And he wrote that in his official 2007 assessment, noting this devotion was already canonically approved. So with that in mind, and this comes from the National Catholic Register website, you can read it for yourself. It's ncregister.com/blog/st-joseph-s-apparition-in-the-united-states. So you can read it there, but I'm going to read some of it here. So Sister Mary Mildred wrote not only the messages in her diary, but also gave short commentaries. She described how St. Joseph first visited in October 1956, about 1 week after Our Lady first appeared. On this preview, she didn't see him, but only heard him tell her, "It is true, my daughter, that immediately after my conception, I was, through the future merits of Jesus and because of my exceptional role, a future virgin father cleansed from the stain of original sin. I was from that moment confirmed in grace and never had the slightest stain on my soul. This is my unique privilege among men. My pure heart also was from the first moment of existence inflamed with love for God. Immediately at the moment when my soul was cleansed from original sin, grace was infused into it in such abundance that excluding my holy spouse, I surpassed the holiness of the highest angel in the angelic choir. My heart suffered with the hearts of Jesus and Mary. Mine was a silent suffering, for it was my special vocation to hide and shield, as long as God willed, the Virgin Mother and Son from the malice and hatred of men. The most painful of my sorrows was I knew beforehand of their passion, yet would not be there to console them. Their future suffering was ever present to me and became my daily cross. So I became in union with my holy spouse, co-redemptor of the human race. Through compassion for the sufferings of Jesus and Mary, I cooperated as no other in the salvation of the world." Sister Mary Mildred wrote that on March 11, 1958, Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, said to her, "Saint Joseph will come on the eve of his feast. Prepare yourself where? Well, there will be a special message. My holy spouse has an important part to play in bringing peace to the world." Saint Joseph, in fact, came as promised and said to Sister Mary Mildred, Kneel down, my daughter, for what you will hear and what you will write will bring countless souls to a new way of life. Through you, small one, the Trinity desires to make known to souls its desire to be adored, honored, and loved within the kingdom, the interior kingdom of their hearts. I bring to souls the purity of my life and the obedience that crowned it. All fatherhood is blessed in me, whom the Eternal Father chose as his representative on earth, the virgin father of his own divine Son. Through me, the Heavenly Father has blessed all fatherhood, and through me he continues and will continue to do so till the end of time. My spiritual fatherhood extends to all God's children, and together with my virgin spouse, I watch over them with great love and solicitude. And as an aside, notice how these defining words from St. Joseph came just as the Western world was on the brink of demeaning fathers and belittling fatherhood. So very true. And it happens today, and that is just so very sad. St. Joseph continued, "All fathers must come to me, small one, to learn obedience to authority, to the church always as the mouthpiece of God, to the laws of the country in which they live, insofar as these do not go against God and their neighbor. Mine was perfect obedience to the divine will as it was shown and made known to me by the Jewish law and religion. To be careless in this is most displeasing to God and will be severely punished in the next world. Let fathers also imitate my great purity of life and the deep respect I held for my immaculate spouse. Let them be an example to their children and fellow men, never willfully doing anything that would cause scandal among God's people. Fatherhood is from God, and it must take, once again, its rightful place among men." When St. Joseph finished, Sister Mary Mildred wrote how she saw his most pure heart. It seemed to be lying on a brown cross. Flames were pouring from the heart, and what looked to be a lily appeared in the midst of them. Then she heard St. Joseph again. "Behold this pure heart, so pleasing to him who made it. The cross, my little one, upon which my heart rests, is the cross of the Passion, which was ever present before me, causing me intense suffering. I desire souls to come to my heart, that they may learn true union with the divine will." Then he told her he would return the next day and make known to you how God wishes me to be honored in union with Jesus and Mary to obtain peace among men and nations. On the evening of March 19, 1958, St. Joseph appeared as he had promised and said to her, "My child, I desire a day to be set aside to honor my fatherhood. The privilege of being chosen by God to be the virgin father of his son was mine alone, and no honor, excluding that bestowed upon my holy spouse, was ever, or will be ever, as sublime or as high as this. The Holy Trinity desires thus to honor me in that my unique fatherhood, all fatherhood, all fatherhood might be blessed. Dear child, I was king in the little home of Nazareth, for I sheltered within it the Prince of Peace and the Queen of Heaven. To me they looked for protection and sustenance, and I did not fail them. I received from them the deepest love and reverence, for in me they saw him whose place I took over them. So the head of the family must be loved, obeyed, and respected, and in return be a true father and protector of those under his care. In honoring in a special way my fatherhood, you also honor Jesus and Mary. The Divine Trinity has placed into our keeping the peace of the world. The imitation of the Holy Family, my child, of the virtues we practiced in our little home at Nazareth, is the way for all souls to that peace which comes from God alone and which none other can give. Again, notice how Saint Joseph was talking about his place in the Holy Family and at the same time strengthening the role of fathers and fatherhood at the moment when soon the world would go in the opposite direction. Wow. When Saint Joseph stopped speaking, Sister Mary Mildred said she was given the favor of a unique and marvelous vision of the glorious Saint Joseph. She described how he seemed suspended a short distance above what had the appearance of a large globe with clouds moving about it. His head was slightly raised, the eyes gazing upward as if in ecstasy. The hands were in a position similar to that of the priest during the celebration of the Holy Mass, only they extended upward somewhat. So he was holding his hands in a raised orange position, which, by the way, a lot of people try to use during the Our Father at Mass. But the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has said we do not do that. So please, 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 if you hold your hands up during the Our Father in the orange position, stop. Look at the deacon. If there's a deacon at Mass, he will show you what your position, what the positions of your hands at all times during the Mass should be. Your hands should be held in the same manner as the deacon's, except for when he holds up the precious blood during the final doxology. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. And then the great Amen. So anyway, she noticed the color of his hair and his rather small and slightly forked beard seemed a very dark brown. His eyes resembled in color the hair and beard. He was clothed in a white robe that reached to his ankles. Over this, he wore a sort of cloak which did not come together at the throat, but covering the shoulders and draped gracefully over each arm, reached to the hem of the robe. The cloak at times had, or seemed to have, the appearance of a brown, sometimes a purple hue, or perhaps a slight blending of the two. The belt about his waist was of a gold color, as were his sandals. Sister Mary Mildred also added important details how he appeared, quote, quite youthful, unquote, yet gave the, quote, impression of rare maturity combined with great strength. He seemed a bit taller than medium height. The lines of his face appeared strong and purposeful, softened somewhat by a gentle serenity. I also saw his most pure heart at this time. Moreover, I saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove hovering above his head. Then she saw two angels carried what seemed to be small satin-covered pillows, one holding a crown, the other a gold scepter. And she heard said, "Thus should be honored whom the king desires to honor." As this vision ended, Saint Joseph again spoke to her, saying, "The Holy Father need have no fear, for I have been appointed his special protector. As God chose me to be the special guardian of his son, so has he chosen me as the special guardian of him who in Christ's name is head of the mystical body of that same son on earth. My special protection of the Holy Father and the church should be made known to him. God wishes to make this known to him that he may receive thereby renewed consolation and encouragement. During the war, little daughter, it was I who saved him from death at the hands of his enemies. Pius XII was reigning at the time. Continually I watch over him and the church, and I desire this to be acknowledged for the greater glory of God and the good of souls. Lovely child, precious to the heart of your spiritual father, I will come again on the last Sunday of this month. Jesus and Mary will also come in a special visit. Receive my blessing. When Sister Mary Mildred knelt down for the blessing, she felt St. Joseph's hands on her head and heard, "May Jesus and Mary, through my hands, bestow upon you eternal peace." And so on March 30th, St. Joseph's requests were like those of Our Lady and the first Saturday. Sister Mary Mildred said the Most Holy Trinity chose the sacred hearts of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to bring peace to the world. The reason for their request, quote, "for special love and honor, also in particular reparation and imitation," unquote. Then she heard St. Joseph tell her, "I am the protector of the church and the home, as I was the protector of Christ and his mother while I lived upon earth. Jesus and Mary desire that my heart, that my pure heart, so long hidden and unknown, be now honored in a special way. Let my children honor my most pure heart in a special manner on the first Wednesday of the month by reciting the joyful mysteries of the Rosary in memory of my life with Jesus and Mary and the love I bore them, the sorrow I suffered with them. Let them receive Holy Communion in union with the love which I received the Savior for the first time and each time I held him in my arms. Those who honor me in this way will be consoled by my presence at their death, and I myself will conduct them safely into the presence of Jesus and Mary. I will come again, little child of my most pure heart. Until then, continue in patience and humility, which is so pleasing to God. Those who honor me in this special way will be consoled by my presence at their death, and I myself will conduct them safely into the presence of Jesus and Mary. I will come again, little child of my most pure heart. Until then, continue in patience and... Notice how this request completes the trinity of devotions begun with the first Fridays, then the first Saturdays, now the first Wednesdays. Heaven makes it perfectly clear. At the same time, these visions seemed an outgrowth of St. Joseph's appearance at Fatima. There we go, talking about Fatima. Sister Mary Mildred added that just as St. Joseph had promised for March 30th, Jesus and Mary also came. She saw Jesus as a boy around 15 or 16 years old, and he spoke to her about the sanctification of the family and other matters. Then Our Lady and St. Joseph also spoke to her about these same manners and about the divine indwelling. There should be no doubt that the Holy Trinity wants us to know St. Joseph more and more. As Mariologist Mark Miravalli says on video discussing St. Joseph's appearance, Joseph is to be honored like no one except our Blessed Mother. Second only to Mary should the honor in our hearts be designated for St. Joseph. He stresses the first Wednesday devotion and sums everything up by telling us something we should immediately adopt and realize. Honor St. Joseph. It will make our mother happy. And the official website is OurLadyOfAmerica.com. OurLadyOfAmerica.com. So anyway, we're about out of time. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. St. Joseph, foster father of our Lord Jesus, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. I want you all to have a blessed rest of your Tuesday and a blessed Wednesday until I see you right back here at 3:30. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Richard Pettis, and I love you all.